going to read from Genesis chapter 10 and a few verses, and then some from chapter 11. Genesis chapter 10 and 11. Okay, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 10. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. And then it lists a bunch of the sons with all these names that we can't pronounce. And then to come down to verse 5, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. And the sons of Ham, and it mentions a number of them here, and then it says in verse 8, Cush, one of the sons of Ham, begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calne, in the land of Shinar. All right, in chapter 11, verse 1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build up a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. We'll be looking at this portion of scripture in just a few minutes. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can open your word and study and understand some of the beginning things that happened here on earth. And we thank you, Lord, that you are setting the stage for what is coming later on. And we pray that you will help us to have a better idea of who you are and what our responsibility is to you. How we thank you for our Lord Jesus and for all that he means to us today. We thank you, Lord, that you were willing to come in human form among us and to take our sins upon yourself and to die in our place that we might have everlasting life. Our Father, we do pray today for your people, wherever they may be found. We've been thinking about Lydia and Armand. And we pray for them. We ask you to bless them especially and bless Lydia and her witness for you out there in California. Armand, as he's over in China with his new wife, and we pray your blessings upon them, that they'll soon be able to move back to the States. We pray for those who are ill today. We ask you to undertake for them, meet their needs. We know that there's a lot of problems and difficulties. We think of Ken Weber, and we know he's been through a lot, and he needs to have his eyes worked on as well as his getting his legs to work and all of these things, and we just pray that he will come through this. We thank you to know that Kimberly Lataka is now cancer-free. That's such a wonderful thing, and we pray your blessings upon her and her family. We do pray, our Father, for our missionaries today. As we think of them, we think of Vitali and Alessandra Keller and the work that they're doing in the Ukraine. We pray your special blessings upon them today and upon all of our missionaries. We just thank you and praise you for each and every one and for the work that they're doing to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask you, Father, to help us in our daily life, that we might be witnesses for you here in Phoenixville, and Audubon, or wherever we may live, Norristown. Pray that we'll be effective witnesses for Christ. May your will be done. Guide and help us in all that we do, we pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right, well, we've gotten through the flood, right? And Noah and his family have come out now. The great flood destroyed all of the mankind except for the family of Noah, he and his three sons, his wife and their wives. And they came out of the ark, and the Lord commanded them, he says, to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. This is in chapter 9, he mentions that. And we find that they were obedient to that command. Overall, this statement that we read in verse 1, it says, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them who were sons born after the flood. And then it lists all of these names under each one of the various tribes. And we find here that these are the generations that were coming on. They're not in chronological order. We find later on that Japheth was the older of the sons. His name means enlargement, and he's the father of the basically most of the big Gentile nations. Japheth is the one. It mentions all these names. If you were to look those up and find out where they come from, you'll find out that they are the great Gentile nations. The Bible scholars say that they are the Gauls, the Britons, Germans, Russians, and so forth, the Greeks, Romans, and all of the these Gentile nations came from Japheth. And it says that God shall enlarge Japheth, chapter 9 and verse 27, and they have grown to be great nations. Ham was the youngest of the sons of Noah, and his name means hot. His descendants went down to the south, and we usually think of them as being the African nations, the Ethiopians, but also others. There were the Babylonians, which is a great civilization, the Libyans, the Phoenicians, and the Canaanites and the Egyptians. So these are the ones that came from Ham. And then Shem, of course, is the one with the Semitic peoples, who included the Persians, Assyrians, Chaldeans, and, of course, the Hebrews. The Jewish nation came through Shem. And so all of these are the ones that that came. Here, there's one particular person that's seems to be important from among the sons of Ham. I found this very interesting in studying this. There's only a few verses that's mentioned with him. But he apparently was a very important person. In verse 8, Cush, this is one of the sons of Ham, begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth, it says, first of all. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. There was a saying, it says, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. So he was well known. And the beginning of his kingdom, notice, kingdom, that would make him a king, right? Was Babel, and then these other cities in the land of Shinar, which is where Babylon was located, there in the land of Chaldea. And so here we find this man, Nimrod. And I was reading this other material that I had about him, because I wasn't all that familiar with him. But anyway, Nimrod, we see that he was a rebel against God. He did not want to follow the Lord. It's kind of amazing when you stop and think about it, because he was the great-grandson of Noah. And, you know, God destroyed the world because of their disobedience and because of their rebellion against him and going after other gods. And now, only several generations later, we find Nimrod doing the very same thing. He's rebelling against God. His name in Hebrew actually means rebel, or we will rebel. So they named him well. And before the Lord, it says here, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. It means that he was against the Lord. In other words, face to face with God. In other words, confronting God. It doesn't mean that he was following God, but rather opposing him, actually. He didn't have the belief. And you think about Noah and his sons that went through the flood on the ark. And when they came out, no doubt, you would think that they would have taught their children and grandchildren what happened and the truth. But we find that Nimrod refused all that, turned his back upon it. And so we see that there very soon after the flood, mankind went astray again. It's one of those things where, you know, we are born with a sinful nature. They still had the the same sinful nature and that tendency toward disobedience, toward rebellion, not wanting to yield themselves to the Lord. You know, that's just kind of an innate thing. I want it my way, you know. I want to be in control. And here, Nimrod was that kind of person who led the people. He was a mighty one in the earth. See, he had a great deal of influence on others, and he was a leader in the sense of being, it says, a mighty hunter. It doesn't mean necessarily that he was hunting game, but he was hunting people. He was a warrior. And this kind of thing. Founded the city of Babel, which later became Babylon. Which we know that Babylon is the city that is in contrast to Jerusalem, right? Jerusalem is the holy city of God, the place where His presence is manifest, and Babylon stands for all of the idolatry and the rebellion against God that we have on the earth. So Babylon, and mystery Babylon, it speaks about it over in Revelation. Mystery Babylon, the great, and the one where all of this ungodliness centers. And it all was started by Nimrod. So he obviously was a rebel from the beginning and continued to stand up against God. And in Micah chapter 5, this is the same chapter where it speaks about Jesus, you know, being born in Bethlehem. Thou, Bethlehem, which is in the land of Judah, art not the least among the tribes of Judah, because out of thee will come forth the one that will save his people. And that's talking about Jesus. And then a little bit later than that, and down in verse 5, it says, it speaks about Babylon, the land of Nimrod. So it's the land of Nimrod. And he is in opposition to all that Christ is, you see. Christ is the good shepherd. This man was a hunter. And instead of preserving, he was rebelling and turning against all that God had in mind for his people. Now, God had told the people to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. They're supposed to be going into all the world to establish homes, to fill the earth, and especially with the knowledge of God, no doubt. This is his idea. But instead, they wanted to stop there on the plain of Shinar and build a city and a tower. And Nimrod is the leader of this entire project. And the king, as it said, his kingdom began in at Babel. And we find this rebellion that's coming about here, disobeying all that God had for him to do. And he apparently did not believe what his ancestors had told him, his father, his grandfather and great-grandfather. He turned away from all that. He didn't believe God's promises. God had promised that he would never destroy the earth again with water. And yet we find here that they are trying to build this tower to heaven so that they'll be able to probably be above the water if it would come. And also it said that the tower was made with like pitch or tar, all around, and to make it waterproof. So that maybe the idea was, we're not sure, but we think it could be, that they were trying to see if they couldn't get away from the water when it came again. Although God had already told them he would not destroy the world again with water. So they didn't believe God's word. And we have to, everything that we do, we should base upon what God says in his word. And they were going the opposite direction, following their own instincts, their own ideas, and their own fears perhaps, and trying to get away from the judgment of God. And yet he had promised already that he would not destroy the world again in that way. So here we find that this man, a mighty one, a hunter, has quite a name for himself, building up his reputation. And it says in, as I said in verse 10 of chapter 10, the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. So he's the one who set up this kingdom there in the land of Shinar and extended his dominion on out. One of the people under him, it says in verse 11, out of the land went forth Asher and builded Nineveh. So they also had a great influence there. These people that worked with him went out and founded the great city of Nineveh as well. So there's this group of people are seeking to establish themselves without the help of God. They're going their own way. and setting up their own religion. There's a contrast here. I was some notes I had. It says there's a drastic contrast between Noah and Nimrod. Noah, who was his great-grandfather, built an ark so that his family might be saved. Nimrod built a tower so that he could make a name. That's what they said. They wanted to make a name for themselves, right? And so that's out of pride and arrogance and trying to establish their own way rather than following the way of God. It's two different attitudes, present, either we follow God's way or we go our own way, right? Noah followed the blueprint that God gave to him, built the ark, and was saved. Nimrod had plans of his own. It says here in chapter 11, at this time, notice it says, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. You know, that wouldn't be bad, would it? If we all could speak the same way, you know, you can understand people from all over the world. Wouldn't that be great? You could just converse with everyone. And that's the way it was in the beginning. And it was a good thing, I'm sure, until the people rebelled and used it in the wrong way. That's like everything else that we have, right? Even the internet, you can use it either for something very good or you can use it for something very bad. And people do. So here we find the idea of having one language. I'm sure this was God's idea to begin with. But he found that later he had to change it because of their rebellion. So they came, the people started out and they journeyed, it says, from the east, and found a plain in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. So they stopped. Now, I don't know how many people there were at this time, but a sizable group, no doubt. By this time, it's been several generations since Noah and the ark. And now, they said one to another in verse 3, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. So they made their own bricks, working with their own hands to build this city that they wanted to establish there in that one particular place. And verse 4, they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Now, they didn't think that they were going to arrive in heaven by climbing this tower, but they claim this was a very tall tower, and they made it out of brick and covered it with what's called here slime, which apparently was some kind of tar or something that probably like they had used on the ark to make it waterproof. And now this tower was built up, and they said, let's make us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. This was like, they have pictures of them. I've seen them. You might have seen them yourself. The ziggurat, or however you say that, it has steps all around it, and you go up to the top, and it's flat on top. And they would go up there and observe the stars. And that's how all of this zodiac business got started, you know, and then worshiping other gods and making gods out of the moon and the stars and the sun and so forth. And they would go up and worship there on top of this tower or this ziggurat. And and then it says, let us make us a name. You see, let us make us a name. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. You see? They are deliberately doing the exact opposite to what God said. He said, you know, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. replenish the earth. They said, we're going to build a city so that we don't get scattered all around the world. So they're exactly going against what God says, like so many people are doing today, and opposing that which God has put into His Word. And they said, let us make us a name. So they're seeking to to build up their reputation and to their pride, standing against what God has told them to do. So verse 5 says, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. So God's taking a look at this. And notice again, the Lord said in verse 6, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. And this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. See, they're all together. They can all understand one another. They can all work together, which all sounds like a good thing, right? But he says, now nothing will prevent them from doing anything they want to do. So God says, we can't have that. And who's he talking to here? Who do you think he's talking to? He said, the Lord said, he's talking, you can say he's talking to himself. What do you think? It's like he said, let us make man in our own image. He was talking about God is Trinity, right? Three persons. And here the Lord is saying once again, look at these people. If we don't do something, they're going to go against everything that we have planned. And so it says in verse 7, let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So we find that all these different languages that came about was because of rebellion. People did not do what God wanted them to do, and so therefore he confused their languages, gave them different languages, so that they would not be able to understand one another and deliberately disobey him. That's the idea. And so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence. You know, there would be a group of them over here that could understand each other. So they'd go in one place. Another group over here that understood themselves, they would be able to go somewhere else. And that way they spread abroad and set up cities in different places like God had intended to begin with. And so it says in verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. And they left off to build the city. So at that time, this was the end of the city of Babel. Later on, of course, we know Babylon was built in that same area. But this was the first time that they had attempted to build a city. Now they couldn't understand one another, and so they were unable to continue to go forward. You know, unity is a wonderful thing when it's used for the right purpose. And to be united together and to be able to accomplish something that's constructive and good. But when we're seeking to have our own way, to do our own thing, and it's not in keeping with God's will, then it's just not going to work. God will not tolerate it. He will not allow us to continue to go our own way. He said, you know, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If we are obedient, then he'll pour out his blessing. But if we're not, he puts a curse on it. And that's what he did here. He cursed the world by confounding their languages. And now you can't go to China and understand what those people are saying, or to Japan or someplace like that, Russia, wherever in the world, all these different places. And I don't know what the original language was. Someone's that would be a good thing to find out. If anyone can find out what the original language was, let me know, will you? I'd like to know that. I know I have heard people say, well, it's probably Hebrew, but I don't think it was, because they came a little bit later. Anyhow, that's just a little something on the side. But we find here that this place then was called Babel, which means confusion, because the people didn't know what to do when they couldn't understand one. You know, they would go to work one day and they could all understand each other, and then they went back the next day and nobody knew what the other one was talking about. They couldn't make plans. They couldn't build anything. They couldn't understand. And so they said, well, this is just Babel, you know. Look, we use that like a babbling brook or something, just making a noise, but you don't understand it. And here, this city was called Babel. Because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So man can't seem to learn his lesson, you know. They had reached the point that they were so ungodly and so corrupt that God destroyed the world with the flood. A few generations later now, they're rebelling again, not doing what God says, and God has to confound their languages and send them out to different places in order to accomplish His will. So we find here that this city never was built, and the tower wasn't finished either. They had made good plans, but it didn't work out because they were not God's plans, you know. And if we try to make our lives the way we want them without God's blessing, without His consent, it's not going to work, you know. We have to allow Him to lead us and show us the way, give us the wisdom and understanding in doing His will. And you know, the Lord Jesus has told His disciples, He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Here He told these people, I want you scattered abroad throughout the world. Repopulate the world. And of course, He would want them to spread the good news of salvation as well. So thus we find God's will was accomplished. He did what He knew was the right thing to do in spite of man's stubborn rebellion and his reluctance to obey. So the Bible makes it very clear that God's will is going to be done. It will be done. And we should yield ourselves to Him because He loves us and He wants us to have His very best if we'll only yield ourselves to Him. Now, it's been pointed out, you know, talking about the languages here, Pentecost was a reversal of Babel, because here we find that there was one language and God confounded it and made all these different languages so that they couldn't understand one another. At Pentecost, we had people that spoke many different languages, but God made it so that they could all understand what was being said. And so it's wonderful that He is able to do that and to create that spiritual unity. And today we as Christians, even though we might speak different languages, we all have the same purpose, same plan, is to magnify the Lord Jesus and to tell others about Him. And this is God's will for us to do that, no matter where we may live or what language we may speak. So we can turn that back around from the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and united the believers together. Even though we still have various languages, we have one Savior, we have one purpose for living. So this is how it all got started, and God's will was accomplished, and His will be accomplished for the future. So we look for our Lord Jesus Christ to come again, to receive us unto Himself. It's all going to happen because that is God's will. And His will is always accomplished. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for Your precious word to our hearts this morning. We pray that we might understand what we're saying here and how it all began and how You work things out for Your will to be accomplished. We pray that we would live in according to Your word and accomplish Your will in our lives day by day. May our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified, we pray, in His precious name. Amen.